pop-up exhibit at the Grace Hudson Museum in Ukiah from 10 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday. There's Miyazaki Movie Madness at the Ukiah Public Library on Thursday, 2:30 p.m. with the family-friendly film, The Secret World of Arrietty. The League of Women Voters hosts a candidate forum for 4th District Supervisor on Thursday, 6:30 p.m. in Fort Bragg's Town Hall. The Point Arena 3rd Thursday Poetry and Jazz Series continues with an open mic, 7:30 p.m. at Arena Market and Cafe. North Coast Opportunities and the Community Governance Partnership host a two-day interactive community organizer training on January 31st and February 1st at Alex Rohrbaugh Center in Ukiah to learn organizing and campaigning skills and strategies and tools to address social problems and the process for grassroots-driven policy change. Scholarships available. Neil Davis has more information at 467-3220. Mendocino Dance Project brings the all-original show Spectator to the Mendocino Theater Company stage on Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And Noel Coward's provocative comedy Present Laughter from National Theater Live shows on Saturday, 1 p.m. at Arena Theater in Point Arena. Please let us know about your event at least 2 weeks in advance and be sure and check out our complete events calendar at kzyx.org.
And this is KZYX Philo 90.7 FM, KZYZ Willits and Ukiah 91.5 FM, and Fort Bragg at 88.1 FM. We also stream live at kzyx.org, Mendocino County Public Broadcasting, listener-supported community radio. Support for KZYX comes from our members and SPACE, Near and Arnold School of Performing Arts and Cultural Education, offering classes for all ages, infant to teens, in acting, singing, and contemporary creative and street dance. Classes begin January 21st. To register and for more information, spaceperformingarts.org or call 462-9370. Stay tuned now for a special election call-in show with the Mendocino Voice.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Mendocino Voice election call-in special here on KZYX. We know there is a debate going on tonight, but we thought it would be a good time to talk about some of the issues coming up locally here in our elections. As everyone may or may not yet be aware, the California primaries are on March 3rd. That's been moved up this year, so they're much earlier in the year than they used to be. And that means that's coming up pretty soon. So we're going to get into all of that, but I'm Kate Maxwell. I'm the publisher of the Mendocino Voice, and
I'm Adrian Bauman. I'm the editor of the Mendocino Voice, and if you're not familiar with the Mendocino Voice, you can find us at mendovoice.com. We're an online newspaper covering the whole county. We've been around about 3 years, so again, if you don't know who's talking right now, if you haven't heard of it, mendovoice.com is where you can find it.
And so we're going to be trying to bring you as much information as we can about the upcoming elections. They're coming up quickly, so March 3rd is less than 60 days away. And later in the hour, we want to hear from you about exactly what you want local candidates to talk about, what you think the big issues are here in Mendocino County. So we're going to give you sort of an overview of what's going on and how you can make sure you're registered and what some of the events are going to be between now and the primaries. And, you know, then we want to have everyone call in and let us know what you think, as we interview the supervisors' candidates. So there's still some time between now and when you actually have to turn in your ballot. So, you know, there's lots of questions to ask of the people running and things to learn about what is actually going to be on the ballot. But first, if you have not registered to vote, or if you're not sure whether or not your current voter registration is up to date, if you're not sure what party you actually registered for, the easiest way you can check that is to go to the California Secretary of State. There's a simple website called voterstatus.sos.ca.gov, but you can also just find that by searching for Check Voter Registration California, and you should be able to put in your information and very quickly find out if you're registered at the right address. That's really important so that you can actually vote on the measures or for the supervisor who's representing you. But beyond all the local things, the March 3rd primaries do have some national significance because this year, California's primary being sooner, the Democratic Party candidates are being decided, and the fact that California is much earlier in the number of in the whole states of primaries mean that who California votes for is going to have bigger significance later on in the race.
So historically, California has actually voted later in the year, oftentimes in the late spring, and what's that's meant is that very often by the time the voting gets to California, the primary has been decided, and the California, the largest state in the union by a significant amount, doesn't really get much of a say. So last year, 2 years ago, this state legislature decided to move the primary up. We're now the third or fourth. So it's Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina, then California on Super Tuesday on March 3rd. So it's a much earlier primary than is normal here, and because of that, because we lump our elections, it means all of the local elections are also super early this year. So usually the campaign season is a spring affair for the primary. This time around, we're doing the campaign season in the winter. We're voting in the spring, and then the general election is still going to be in November. So there's going to be a six-month lull, almost. No, that's going to be a long time between, yeah, like a six-month lull.
Yeah, so one thing that is important to know if you are concerned about those federal level races, or if you have your particular Democratic Party candidate that you're really rooting for, you can vote in the Democratic primaries if you are registered as no party preference. There are three different parties that you can vote in if you are not actually registered for that party, but just as no party preference. So that is the Democratic Party primaries, the American Independent Party, and the Libertarian Party. All of those, if you want to vote in those primaries and you're not affiliated with a different party, but you are no party preference, you can still vote in those primaries. You should have, if you're one of those no party voters, received something locally from the Mendocino County registrar checking, assuring you that that's how you're registered, and they want to hear back to confirm that that's your party registration. So if you didn't get a card, or if you got that card and you shoved it somewhere in a pile of mail, you can send it back still and make sure that your registration's up to date. You can also call in to the Mendocino County Registrar and just tell them that information over the phone. They'll ask you a couple questions to verify, and then you can actually participate in those primary votes. If you are a Republican, if you register with the Green Party or the Peace and Freedom Party, you cannot vote in those primaries. So certainly people will make those changes strategically sometimes, but you know, if you're invested in those races, you can do that and there's still time. The local county does ask you to register. They sent out an announcement saying we want everyone to register by February 18th, but that's not actually the hard and fast final day. You can check your voter registration and adjust things.
So the deadline to formally register to vote in Mendocino County, it's actually statewide, is the 18th, February 18th. However, last year, the legislature passed a law allowing for people who are not registered or who are registered in a different place to still show up at a poll, cast a vote, and when you do that, your vote will be considered a conditional, it's called conditional voter registration is the term they use. And so if you don't want to vote, then the day before the election, you're like, actually, I care about this. You can still show up at the poll, cast a vote. They'll register it as a conditional vote. And then after the, it'll take a few weeks, and they check to make sure that you're in the correct county and that you actually live there. They check to make sure the registration's correct, and then they count your vote. And if you show up, for instance, and you didn't check your registration ahead of time and you realize, oh, no, actually, I'm still registered at my old house, you still can cast a vote where you are. And again, it'll be considered a conditional voter registration. However, if you do that, it might turn out that you get a generic ballot instead of a ballot that's specific to your area. And what that can mean, if a generic ballot won't include often, a generic ballot for this county won't include the school district specific other district specific or city specific issues on that ballot. However, if you go to the county elections office on LoGAP in Ukiah, they can find you if on that night you still haven't registered and you decided to go ahead and register, you go ahead and vote. They can find you your correct, your area-specific ballot at that location. So that's a little information for everybody out there about how you can vote, what you can vote in, how to register, all that stuff. So everybody's ready to go. Hopefully. Everybody who hears this show should be ready to go to vote.
And if you don't actually want to go to vote and your registration is current, you can hopefully just put that in the mail. And those ballots will be sent out in early February, but you don't have to decide. And you can even just take that ballot to a drop box on March 3rd. And one reason why you may want to wait is that there's a bunch of different election events happening. And so here at the Mendocino Voice, what we are going to do, which we've done in every previous election, is do live interviews with each of the candidates. And so we do that so that you can, you know, get a sense of what that person is like if you haven't been able to meet them at a different event. And we're going to ask them questions about the things that you call us and tell us right now to, you know, or send us an email or get in touch and tell us what you want to ask them. And we'll get them there on air so you can watch for about 45 minutes answering all your questions. And then we'll also take questions from people live. So that's one way we're going to let you know about the different supervisors candidates that are running. There's a number of different election events happening as well. Not all of them have been totally finalized, but we're going to try and live stream those for you as much as we can. And so to give you a little bit of an overview of that.
And when she says live stream, that means on our Facebook page. We stream the video live to our Facebook page. That's generally how we do it. If we wind up someplace with no internet connection and we can't do it live, we record it and post it on YouTube later.
But for everyone that doesn't have Facebook or want to watch on Facebook at that time, they'll be posted on our website later. So you can have as much time as you want to look through those videos. But if you really want to get in on the action as it's happening, Facebook is the simplest way to do that. But we will be also in Fort Bragg this Thursday. There will be a forum happening at the Fort Bragg City Hall with the two supervisors candidates there, current city council candidate Lindy Peters and current supervisor for the 4th District, Dan Jurgi. That's a League of Women Voters event, and it's going to be starting at 6:30 p.m. at Town Hall. It'll also be broadcast on KZYX. After that, we've got an event on the 28th happening in Ukiah, and that is a 1st and 2nd District supervisors event. There will also be, but the reason you may want to wait and hang on to your ballot is later on in February, there's going to be a number of events sort of in the week or two before the elections actually happen. So there will be an event with UVA, and there will also be some Mendocino Cannabis Alliance events that are scheduled for Redwood Valley and for the coast. And we'll give you the dates on those in a minute.
And these events are election forums.
They're election forums. So there will be the Ukiah Vecinos in Action event is on February 24th. 4th, and that's going to be at the Veterans Hall in Ukiah, and that is going to be a bilingual forum. It hopefully will also be broadcast both on KZYX and Mendocino Voice Facebook. And then the Mendocino Cannabis Alliance has also put together two events at the end of February. And those are going to be cannabis specific events. So if you're concerned about what is happening with the cannabis industry here in Mendocino, this is a good time for you to get more in-depth answers from the candidates about those questions.
The events are election forums in which the candidates will be present, and in most cases there'll be a moderator, or some of them will be town hall style, where people can ask the candidates questions and learn more about the candidates' positions. So they're election forums.
So the MCA events are February 21st at the AARC conference room in Ukiah from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And that's going to be a District 2 specific event. So that's going to be the Ukiah, City of Ukiah area candidates. And then there's going to be a District 2 event on February 27th from 6 to 7:30 District 1 at the Redwood Valley Grange. And there may or may not be a cannabis co-specific event. I think that may still be planning. Can you do the times? Oh, so the times one more time are February 21st at the AARC conference room in Ukiah from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And that's a District 2 candidates event from MCA. And then on Thursday, February 27th, from, again, 6 to 7:30 p.m., and that's a District 1 candidates cannabis event at the Redwood Valley Grange.
For people that are joining us right now, we are not broadcasting the Democratic presidential candidate debate because it is a CNN debate specifically, and it's not licensed to be broadcast by public radio stations. So that's why you're not hearing that debate right now. Instead, you're hearing the Mendocino Voice here on KZYX, and we're talking about giving you some general information about the local elections that are coming up on March 3rd. And we're going to be taking your calls and asking you, we just got a call. We're going to be asking you, what do you want us to be asking the candidates? What do you want to talk about in this election? What do you want to hear from the candidates? What are the issues that matter to you?
And so before we're going to give you the full list of candidates in 1 minute, but before we get to that, there are some additional measures on the ballot. And so those can sometimes get lost in the mix of everyone getting excited about which candidates they are interested in and what they want to talk about.
And one note of clarification on the California ballot, propositions are state issues and local issues, whether they be from a city, the county, or a district, are generally referred to as measures. So just a little fun word thing.
And so right now, again, all of this information, a lot of it is located on the Mendocino County Registrar's website. Some of it seems like it has not been yet uploaded for these 2020 elections. So eventually you will be receiving kind of a candidate's booklet and things like that, that should include some more details. But right now, that has not been finalized yet, I think. So more information will be added to the county website over time, but you should be able to find out some of sort of the basic details right now. So the measures are something that we're going to kind of just give you a brief overview of right now, and then we can sort of get into more detail, and we'll be trying to write up some summaries for our readers about just what these measures are and how to think about them.
So in the interest of time, we're going to run through these pretty quickly because these always tend to be extensive and have a lot of details, and we do want to get to the phones and hear from you. So we're going to run through these measures quickly, and you can go to our website, our newspaper, or any other of the fine local newspapers, or KZYX to hear more about this. So Measure A, Ukiah Unified School District, it's a bond measure. Repair and replace leaky roofs, make health and safety improvements, and modernize, construct classrooms and facilities. So it's $75 million in bonds at legal rates, generating an average $44 million annually, as long as bonds are outstanding at a rate of approximately 5 cents per $100 assessed value, with annual audits, independent, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, Kate.
And so there's actually four different school bond measures this go round, four different school districts. So they all have slightly different specifics about them, but if you're living in one of these districts, this will be something that's going to be on your ballot. So whether or not you're involved in what's going on with your local school, this is something that, you know, is up to you as a voter to decide on.
And another note of clarification, school districts are not always or often coterminous with cities. So for instance, the Willits School District covers the whole valley and I believe part of Brooktrails. It does include Brooktrails, yeah. So this is not a city issue. It's not something that you'll be voting on if you live, for instance, in the Ukiah School District. If you live in Ukiah, it's actually the larger area. Essentially, if your kids go to school in that school district, then you're going to be voting on this. Fort Bragg School District also has a bond measure. This one is for $35 million. In bonds, $2 million annually, and it is to replace leaky roofs, update inadequate electrical systems, make health and safety improvements, modernize, renovate, and construct classrooms and restroom facilities. And then, let's see.
Which measure is that?
That, oh, apologies. No. So that is Measure B.
And Ukiah Unified is A, so we're going to...
Yeah, Measure A. In keeping with the school bond, Willits Unified School District, they have a Measure G, and that is a bond measure for $17 million in bonds to repair aging classrooms, school facilities, fix deteriorating roofs, plumbing, heating, cooling, electrical systems, improve student safety, security, upgrade and acquire, and construct and equip classrooms, labs, facilities, etc. So that's the Willits School District, again, for $17 million bond measure. And these are to be paid over the course of many years. It's not all at once. And then Mendocino Unified School District, around the town of Mendocino, they have a bond measure for $31 million. And that is also to improve the quality of Mendocino High, specifically repair and replace leaky roofs, deteriorating plumbing, sewer systems in this case, modernize and construct classrooms, restrooms, and school facilities, etc. So those are the school bond measures that are up this time. That's Measure H. So again, Ukiah Measure A, Fort Bragg Measure B, Willits Measure G, and Mendocino Unified School District is Measure H. Now going back to the non-school bond issues, we have Measure C, which is the Mendocino Coast Healthcare District. So I'll just read it for you guys. With no additional taxes to the taxpayers and to assure continuing emergency medical services, acute hospital, inpatient services, and out services, with substantial investment by nonprofit Stone Point Health to meet the needs of Mendocino Coast residents, shall the Mendocino Coast Healthcare District enter into a lease agreement of Mendocino Coast District Hospital for up to 30 years at fair market value to Stone Point Health, per terms approved by resolution 2019-17, adopted November 22nd of 2019. So there was a resolution adopted by that board to go ahead with a lease agreement with Stone Point Health, and it needs voter approval. So that's a contentious issue on the coast. A lot of people have been talking about that one. Again, we're pressed for time, so we will be dealing with that in future articles.
But just to clarify, the Coast Healthcare District is also, you know, it's a special district, and if you want to learn more about special districts, go to mendomaps.com, and we tried to put a bunch of information for you there in a podcast and things. But basically, a special district is a group of people who you'll live in this area around the coast, and that... you'll be taxed on those things, you know, you'll have the opportunity to vote on them, but it's not, again, coterminous with a specific city. So you probably know if you're in the healthcare district, but this will be something kind of very specific to those voters.
Yeah, a lot of the services in rural counties like ours are provided by special districts and school districts. So your water districts, your health districts, your cemetery districts, et cetera, et cetera. And each of those has a board and can provide a service and oftentimes levy taxes, usually a property tax, and float bonds.
But certainly, you know, a lot of people use the hospital on the coast that may not actually live in this district. So this may be an issue that's important to you, but you may not actually get to vote on it unless you do live in the in that district. And so, you know, this is essentially in part about what is going to happen to the hospital in the future and what, you know, that's sort of one of the main healthcare providers on the coast. And so certainly this is an issue that will impact people up and down the coast, even if they're not actually in that district. So, you know, if you have strong feelings about this but don't get to vote on it, you know, this could be something you want to go talk to your neighbors about. That is the case with a lot of the special district services here, where they do provide a service that ends up helping a larger area than necessarily is within that district.
So next we have, and that's Measure C. Now, Measure D is a transient occupancy tax, which is basically a tax on hotel rooms and sometimes campsites. But that's what a transient occupancy tax, although it's abbreviated, people call it a TOT or a TOT. Yeah. I always mispronounce it. Anyways, shall Mendocino County Code Chapter 5.20 be amended to authorize collection of a transient occupancy tax on short-term visitor accommodations 30 days or less in private campgrounds and recreational vehicle parks? And in the text it says it's estimated to raise $1 million annually. The transient occupancy tax has a rate of 10% and is effective until repealed. So basically this would be taxes on if you stay, you know, most of us don't because we live here, but when people are coming through and they stay at a campground, I mean, sometimes I stay at a campground if I go, whatever. If you stay at a campground or a trailer park and it's a transient thing, it's you're staying briefly, so it's under 30 days. It's not if you're renting on a permanent basis. You'd be charged an additional 10% as a tax, as a revenue-generating mechanism for the county. So hotels already pay this tax, and that varies actually depending on whether you're in unincorporated Mendocino County or, you know, Fort Bragg and Willits and Ukiah have their own transient occupants and taxes. So that is Measure D. There's Measure E is related to that one. It is an advisory measure only. It doesn't actually carry the force of law, but it's sort of a way to say that the voters really want this money to go towards this goal. We want this tax to go towards this goal without making it binding, which would run afoul of there's a proposition that was passed in the 80s that requires a two-thirds vote for those kinds of things. This says advisory vote only. If Mendocino County amends Chapter 5.20 to extend to the transient occupancy tax to private campgrounds and recreational vehicle facilities, should the additional funds from the extended tax be used to fund the recognized fire agencies in Mendocino County as follows: 75% distributed evenly to the recognized fire agencies of Mendocino County, and 25% spent based on the recommendation of the fire chiefs of the recognized fire agencies in Mendocino County. So this is Measure E. And it would be a suggestion by the voters, not binding, that the funds raised if Measure D passes by taxing private campgrounds and RV sites would go towards fire protection and be distributed across the various fire departments in the county.
And so this is an issue that's sort of been talked about locally for some time. I know it was something that came up in the 2018 supervisors races, and that was something that we had actually talked to the candidates about. And, you know, I think certainly having the county have more revenue from tourism and where that revenue goes is something that, you know, is sort of one of those pots of money that local politicians have talked about being available to, you know, whether or not it goes to local fire departments or whether or not it just sort of goes towards other services and needs here for Mendocino County. That's been an issue that has been in the mix for a while. But so then the, you know, the big thing that everybody's talking about is these supervisors races. There's 3 out of the 5 districts that are up for grabs. And so what that means is that, you know, there in one of those districts, there is a current supervisor running, Dan Jurdy, in the 4th district. But in the other 2, the incumbents have basically decided to retire. And so there is the possibility that there could be 3 new supervisors at the table after the end of the year. They typically start in the early January. So that could mean a very different board of supervisors. It also could mean, you know, when we had 2 new supervisors in 2018 in the 3rd and 5th districts. All the previous supervisors had been there for some time. None of them were first-term supervisors, if I'm remembering correctly. And so they did sort of have this historical knowledge of previous things that Mendocino County government had tried, or, sometimes that's also historical baggage, but you do sort of have a different perspective when you have long-term supervisors and a couple new ones coming in. This time around, we could sort of have three new supervisors, and three could be a voting block, things that could really shake up what kinds of decisions and things that these supervisors take on. So, it's if you have been paying attention to these races at all, or if you live in these places, you may know some of these candidates, and we're going to be, as we said, doing individual interviews with them, but we've also posted a number of sort of introductory statements from the candidates online, so you can just get a sense of sort of how they wanted to introduce themselves and what issues they thought would be important for voters to hear about.
And those are at our website, mendovoice.com.
There are also, just before I forget, there's a few other seats in the mix. There's two different judiciary positions. Both of those are unopposed. There are effectively the other competitive seats that where there's a bunch of people running that aren't for supervisors races are the Democratic Central Committee. So if you are invested in what's happening with Democratic Party politics here in Mendocino County, there's a couple districts there where there's a bunch of people running, and so that might be something that you want to go investigate, but we're not going to take on those party politics right now. We have on the coast sort of the easy contest in terms just that there's two candidates and they're both already in public life. They're politicians. So we have Dan Jurdy, who is the current 4th District Supervisor, and Lindy Peters, who is current City Council member in Fort Bragg. And so the two of them have had plenty of opportunity to be seen in public together. I think if you'll be able to find them, but we'll also be recording this forum on Thursday. They both, have records of being politicians, so you can go back and look at them in supervisors' meetings or in the Fort Bragg City Council meetings and get a sense of how they voted and how they've interacted with their constituents so far. In Ukiah, basically.
That race in the 4th District is particularly important. We actually double-checked this today. In the supervisorial races, this is considered a primary election, and then the subsequent election is called a runoff. So if one of the candidates does get 50% of the vote, they will win it in this primary. So because there's only two candidates running in that district, it's actually very likely that this election, this primary election, has a very good chance of deciding who will be the candidate, the supervisor from District 4. Which in some ways is unfortunate because primary elections do historically have much, much, much lower turnouts than general elections, especially general elections in a presidential year are the highest turnouts usually in anywhere in the United States. But so if you do care about that, don't sleep on this. Go vote on this primary. It's going to matter more than other primaries. This is probably going to be decided, unless there's some weird run-on, write-in campaign or something like that, this will very likely decide who is the supervisor for District 4. In District 1, four people are running, and in District 3, District 2, three people are running, which means that that's less likely. It's still possible for a candidate in one of those districts to win a majority rather than a plurality and obviate the need for a runoff. It's unlikely, but it is possible. But in District 4, it's almost certain.
Right. So in District 1, that might be the least likely because there's four candidates. We have James Green. And again, all of these people have a range of different things that they do. And so we're not going to get into their full bios right now. But they sort of submitted their official descriptions of themselves to the Mendocino County Registrar. So we have James Green, who is an IT engineer and a father. We have Glenn McGurdy, who is an educator, scientist, and farmer. We have John Kennedy, who's a local business owner. And we have John Sakowitz, who is a retired asset manager.
I should note, that's what they list their own profession as. We're not saying that's their profession. They list their profession as that. I also need to reintroduce us. We are the Mendocino Voice. I am Adrian Fernandez-Bauman, editor, and
Kate Maxwell, publisher.
And we run the website, newspaper, Mendocino Voice, mendovoice.com, if you want to find us online. And it's 7:35. I think I'm supposed to tell you the time.
And you're listening to KZYX.
And you're listening to KZYX.
We're in Philo at the Philo studio, but you can also hear it in Willits and Fort Bragg at some number at 90.7, 91.5, or 88.1. So we have, those were the District 1 candidates. They all actually have mailing addresses that say they're in Ukiah, but that's the mailing address. District 1 covers effectively Talmadge, Cowpella, Redwood Valley, Potter, so it's surrounding the actual municipality of Ukiah, but these candidates gave Ukiah addresses, and I think none of them live specifically in Redwood Valley, in Potter.
This is District 2, correct?
Yeah, we should just. So.
Go ahead.
Events, if you're living in District 1, there are events in Redwood Valley. There are events maybe in Ukiah. You're going to have to kind of track down these candidates in different places. Then we have District 2, which is the city of Ukiah. We have Mo Mulhern, who is the current city council member. And she just stepped down, or her position as mayor ended in that sort of rotating city council mayor thing that the local city councils do. We have Joel Soinilla, who is a real estate broker. These are, you know, what they list themselves as. And we have Mari Rodin, who is a businesswoman and a grant writer. That district has the only female candidates, and they are running against each other. So previously we had one female supervisor in District 1, Carrie Brown. She's retiring. So we may have an all-male board, depending on how these races shake out. There are, you know, women only running in the city of Ukiah right now.
Just to clarify, I just double-checked it. So in District 1, James Green lives in the Deerwood area. John Sakowitz lives also kind of Deerwood area. So that's just east of Ukiah, north of Itchy Springs. I don't know, not technically Redwood Valley. John Kennedy lives in kind of Cowpella area, right by the 20. McGurdy lives on Old River Road between Talmadge and Hopland, in that area between Talmadge and Hopland. So you have candidates mostly from the Ukiah area to Hopland area, nobody running in that district. That seat was held for a very long time by Carrie Brown, who is very much from Potter Valley. Nobody running from Potter Valley or really Redwood Valley this time around. So it's a very different mix of professions and locations there.
So, I think we would love to take your calls, 707-895-2448. That is 707-895-2448. And, you know, our big question is sort of what do you want these candidates to be talking about as they are competing for your vote? Again, you know, some of these races could be decided on March 3rd. But there's going to be a lot of opportunities for people to ask them questions. There's these forums. We're going to be interviewing the candidates. So we really want to make sure we ask them those questions that you really want to know about. And that, you know, a lot of times candidates will come out and just sort of have platforms and they'll say, you know, I think X, Y, and Z are really important to the future of Mendocino County. They are public servants. They're supposed to represent people here. And so given that, you know, they're out there trying to show you what how they want to work for you. We really want to make sure that the questions we're asking reflect what people want to know. So we've got a caller now. Hi, caller.
Hi.
You're on the air. I don't know if you have the radio on in the background, but I know sometimes that can make it hard to hear.
Yep. Okay, here we go.
Okay, I can hear you now. So, hi, what's going on?
I would say one of the big things that we're interested in the Potter Valley area is fixing the cotton picking roads that were promised 10 years ago and never happened.
So, popular issue. Everybody's always mad about their road, and with good reason.
Yes.
That would be the thing I would want to hear
any potential candidates talking about. Thank you very much for doing this.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
We've got another caller now, though, so we're going to switch away, if that's okay. Caller, what would you like candidates to be talking about?
I would like candidates to be talking about the housing issues and also the transient tax.
And can I ask, caller, where you're at?
Yes, I live in Willits, and I grew up in Ukiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm calling specifically about housing for women in Mendocino County. I was walking by the grocery store the other day and saw a woman sleeping on the ground, and was reminded of a time when I also was struggling very badly with housing issues in this county. And I would like to see, like Gavin Newsom has done, more money put towards housing, especially for single women in this county.
Well, thanks. That's a great question. You know, I think there's where do we find affordable housing in this county, and also how do we help out all the people that aren't housed right now is a really big issue. I know for almost everyone here, even if they are a homeowner, or, you know, if you're a renter like me, or if you, I'm sure most of us know people that have struggled to find housing here. So that's a great question.
And I have a couple of ideas that I can call back with another time with, but some of the regulations in this county could be altered to provide money and housing very quickly, but unfortunately we have things buttoned down too tight in some areas and too loose in others.
You know, I think we'd love to hear about that at some other time. I think if there's one thing to just ask, if you have a specific question about the transient occupancy tax, if there's something that we could go find out for you, maybe, or a question
Absolutely.
You want to know about that.
And you can email us.
Specifically,
you can email us at info@mendovoice.com for everybody out there. If you'd like to email us a more detailed question, info@mendovoice.com.
And did you want me to tell you the specific thing about the transient tax?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, in particular, for example, if you've ever visited McCarricker State Park and camped there, I've camped there all of my life and recently visited there, and the condition of the bathrooms was atrocious. So to raise the tax and to raise the price of camping there to over $50 a night, I would like to see that money put towards making bathrooms and the camping there safer, et cetera.
That's a good point. You know, I think this, a lot of times the transient occupancy tax is talked about as just sort of capturing tourist dollars and bringing it into the county. But a lot of us here locally, I've camped at McCarricker many times, you know, and it's not always the cheapest thing. And so certainly those occupancy taxes would be something that we're all going to pay when we go to campgrounds. And so I think that's definitely a good question that we will pass along.
So, if you want to call in to KZYX, we are the Mendocino Voice, taking calls from listeners about what you want us to ask, the supervisorial candidates. That number is 707-895-2448.
Quería decirles todo que nosotros somos la voz de Mendocino, somos un periódico en línea de red. Si quieren llamarnos para decirnos qué quieren que nos, we have a call.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Mendo Voice and KZYX.
Thank you for being there, you guys. So my question was about the occupancy tax as well. And, you know, I have a business in Mendocino, and I collect sales tax, and I know how much of a pain in the butt it is to, you know, have to administer it, deal with it, collect it, put it away. I've been in business since 2003, so I've been doing it for quite a while. And, you know, so I'm just wondering, like, especially for people, and I'm also, I have a hip camp site on my land. Mm. And so I'm wondering for people who are in my shoes that are small, super small scale, if, you know, I mean, there should be some sort of a sliding scale or some sort of a, you know, like I have, you know, one little campsite, and I think that people, you know, it should be administered. Like, the state, is it going to be that the state park has to deal with the same amount of bureaucracy that someone like myself does, who just has a couple, you know, one little site and a couple of people coming? You know, it just seems crazy that I would have to deal with that and also pay out of my pocket the administration. I mean, there's the one part of it is the collecting of it, but then what about the administration of it? I mean, I'm not going to do it myself because I'm not a sales tax. I don't know all the things about sales tax and how to do it. So I have to hire someone to do it. And who's going to pay for that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think certainly these kinds of things have come up with Airbnb, you know, how this actually ends up affecting individual residents that sort of have this as side income. I'm not sure, actually. No, I think that's something that we'll definitely go look up and try and get you an answer for, because, you know, I think whether or not, you know, I think probably, you know, initially when these things get talked about at supervisors meetings, you know, a lot of times the way people are thinking about it are sort of more about hotels or more about kind of much bigger RV campgrounds, you know, the kinds of like private RV kinds of places that have long existed along the coast. But
I think that if someone wants to make that decision and go to someone's private property and have a discreet thing where they don't have to be in the mainstream, you know, the campsites and be next to someone else and whatever, they want to do that, that should be between them and the landowner. And I'm all about you know, supporting the fire department, supporting local things, and having them do that. But I just think that okay, let's do that with state park, but let's make it to where people that don't have, you know, one site on their property, you know, it's such a small amount of stuff to have to hire someone to administrate that and deal with it. It's kind of cumbersome, it seems to me. That would be my input on that, and I appreciate you taking my comment.
Oh, yeah, no, thanks for calling in. I think that's a good point. And certainly, you know, these bigger companies, a lot of these things are so new that, you know, probably, I'm sure this is something that is going to come up for Hip Camp, much like it has with Airbnb or it has with Uber, you know, sort of as people have these new forms of business, how the regulations play out. It's not always thought through when things get put on the ballot.
Y si nos quieren llamar en español para decir lo que quieren que platicar con los supervisores del condado, 895-2448, porfis.
And we have another caller, so we're going to switch over. Hi, you're on the air with KZYX and Mendo Voice.
All right, thanks for taking my call. Thanks for the forum tonight. Also appreciate Alicia letting you guys hang out there.
Oh, yeah, she's been really helpful. We couldn't have done it without her, so.
Yeah, that's great. So I guess my questions towards most of the supervisors would be, and this would also probably help with the roads, is our public transit system and when they might foresee a public transit mall, a place where all the buses can meet, so people aren't having to walk from Burger King to the Pear Tree Center, and there's not as much congestion there.
That's a great idea.
Totally.
I got it. As a bus rider, I like it. That's a nice idea.
I think, you know, that was something that we actually did ask, I think, all the candidates in 2018, because the buses, if you don't live in North County, you might know that, not know this, but you can't really get a bus past Willits, and you certainly can't get a bus past Willits past like 5 p.m. So, you know, for us North County residents, having a better, more connected MTA, or just for people that need to get all around the county, would be a really big deal. That's a good question. So I think we have another caller. Hi, you're on the air with KZUX and Mendo Voice.
Hi, greetings, and thank you for what you guys do. I had called in earlier about the roads. I was Potter Valley.
Right.
I didn't realize you were going to ask me that, but I'm Potter Valley.
Okay, thanks, yeah.
My inquiry, I guess, in general, in listening to everyone's, you know, concerns, of which there are many, I'm sure, but of all of the district supervisors, when they're elected, whoever it is, what bite do they have? What real impact do they have on moving our concerns to the correct table upon which they can be properly addressed and something can actually happen that we'll see?
You know, that's a great question, because it is often not actually clear to a lot of people. A lot of times people think that, I mean, McCarricker, for instance, that we were discussing earlier, is a state park. So the governance of that, or the toilets, et cetera, it's going to be a state issue, and the county has very little say about how that actually gets any changes there. That's state property, and it's run by the state.
Yeah.
The roads, the county roads, the roads in Potter Valley, those are entirely, I believe, within the purview of the County of Mendocino. The state roads are state issues, so the 101, the 20, the 253, et cetera. That's a state question, and there, as you can see, generally much better maintained than the county roads.
Right. I guess my question is, district supervisors, other than watching, what exactly do they do?
I
can take my answer off the air if you don't mind, if that's okay.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, the big thing is they control the budget of the county, and the county is responsible for a great, great number of services. Again, it's a complex mix. So, for instance, water districts do a lot of the water. Irrigation district, Potter Valley there, you have the irrigation district. That is not at all connected to the county. The school districts, those aren't at all connected to the county. But roads and social services are the big things that counties do.
And, I mean, beyond that, they can advocate for certain things that the county needs. You know, certainly each individual supervisor needs to be able to get a majority vote if they have a particular issue. So even just getting something done on a county level may be hard if you're really pushing for something that, you know, people in Willits feel strongly about but no one else cares about. So they have to make it work on the local level. But beyond that, you know, for something like broadband, there's sort of these issues, or for, you know, we've had our Carmel Angelo went to Sacramento recently to share the stories of what happened to people here in Mendocino during the power shutoffs. There's ways that, you know, we can hope our local elected representatives will go out there and sort of go the extra mile and advocate for what might work for Mendocino on a state or regional level. So, you know, beyond what they can make happen here immediately, we do hope that these elected officials will hear what people are concerned about and go out there and work with state reps or go to Sacramento and say, this is really what people need here in Mendocino County.
They're not our formal representatives in Sacramento, obviously. That's the state assemblyman and the senator. But they do consult, actually, a fair amount with our state legislators. And the big purviews of the county, social services, roads, and the sheriff. So we have another call. Hi, you're on the air with Mendocino, with the Mendocino Voice on KZYX.
Yes, I'd like to find out what's going on with the protection of the environment along Highway 20 and the riparian zones on the creeks and the salmon and the watershed. For the future, you know, as well as the present, how is it going to be? Like, I think there's a part of me that's split about Howard Hospital. If it could be opened up for homeless, they've got showers, they've got baths in every single one of those rooms. You know, nobody should be out in the streets ever. Nobody should be going without shelter. and without bathrooms and warm beds, you know, and so that's what I would like to find out what's being done about the and the jails. Why is it all of a sudden that the sheriff's got all the money for the mental health? I'd like to see it distributed to where every community has $1 million. If they've got $10 million and give $1 million to Laytonville and $1 million to Fort Bragg and $1 million to Willits, and let the local people decide, because there'd be houses rented and there'd be rooms. And it needs to have, you know, reality-oriented with local. Let the community, where the people are living, let them participate in deciding what's going to be. It's ridiculous. I get so angry. I'm a mad woman. I am a mad woman.
Can I ask your name?
What's happening here in Mendocino with the wasting of the resources. We've got to save what little bit is left. There's not enough. It's already going, and I don't know who's taking it, except that right now on Highway 20, they just stole whoever it is, and they shouldn't be able to do it. They're taking our medicine trails. They're destroying the very quality of life, and they don't realize there's no coming back. Once it's gone, it's not coming back, and I want to stop it and slow it down and walk it.
Well, we will
walk
make
it and talk it. You guys are doing it. You're walking it and talking it.
Thank
Keeping
you.
It open. Thank you very much for the dialogue.
Well, will be asking those questions, Supervisor. Again, some of those things, a lot of Highway 20 there between Willits and Fort Bragg is state land. It's owned by Cal Fire.
But, you know, I think these are all really good issues, and certainly, unfortunately, a lot of these things are things that have come up in previous elections, you know, affordable housing, how to help house the houseless, how to get better roads, what exactly can people do as a supervisor, and how are they actually going to make it happen? That's a great question.
We have time for one more call.
And so if anybody out there wants to really quick call, you can. Otherwise, please get in touch at info@mendovoice.com. We're going to be having all of our election information easy to find, doing interviews with candidates, live streaming forums for you. So keep updated with that at mendovoice.com. And also, you know, KZYX has been doing some great election coverage as well, and we'll try and share their specials.
We got a call.
So really quick caller.
All right, speed round.
Hi. Here we have a climate crisis. And
I heard about that.
I know that Mendocino Vibra Company is continuing to cut. There has to be some kind of common sense here, you know, about the climate crisis and the trees falling, because we need those trees. We need those trees to help us avert more catastrophe in terms of the climate. So that's what I'm concerned about. And also Measure V. Whatever happened to Measure V? Thanks a lot.
Thanks. That's a great question, too. Measure V, still somewhat unclear what's happening with Measure V.
We're writing an article about it. We'll have more information
but
about that
we
soon.
We will be asking the candidates that as well. So, everyone, keep your questions coming in the future, but we're going to have to wrap it up for the night, unfortunately. We will probably hope maybe we can work out with KZUX another time. We can come on the air before a little bit closer to the actual election day. So if you have those last-minute questions or those things that have been bugging you, we can try and do this again. But otherwise, you can reach us anytime at info@mendovoice.com or at 707-506-NEWS. And I'm Kate Maxwell, publisher of the Mendocino Voice, with
Adrian Bauman, editor of the Mendocino Voice, and this has been the Mendocino Voice. We're at mendovoice.com. Again, mendovoice.com, and you can reach us at info@mendovoice.com. That's our email. And I think we're about wrapped up. We're going to give the control of the radio station back to KZYX.
But we want to thank Alicia so much for letting us occupy her Philo studio, and we managed to not make her talk the whole time. Hopefully we will be able to keep that up in the future, but we hope to be able to have another election event where we talk with Alicia also.
Now I'm going to find out what happened in the debates.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So
time for Twitter.
Go, everyone, if you want to get involved in your local politics, remember, check your registration, and you still have some time to fix that or get registered if you haven't. Thanks for listening.
And if you can name this song, get a prize. Not really.